From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From the Roundabout Studios in the Motor City, I'm Craig Cole.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
And from Little Baghdad, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, lucky episode number 13. Our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like Depression-era farmers, we flee the Oklahoma panhandle and head west across the internet toward California. I mean, we set out to find the best news topics from the past week and a cohesive Zen-like theme to tie them all together. On the way, we uncover an array of different stories and news bites to fit that theme, however hopeless or worn out they may be. And whatever's left over, well, we have a serious discussion about it anyway, because the Dust Bowl was no laughing matter. So here we are. We've made it to episode number 13. And let me just say, if you tuned in this week to watch the live broadcast, I'm sorry. Ben was out of town at the LA Auto Show, and we weren't able to get that up on our site. So if you tuned in, again, I'm sorry for that. But anyway, back on topic. Like I said, Ben is not here, so we will not have any sound effects in what we're recording.
He's here with me.
Out in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where we insert the cougar sound effect.
Yeah.
So Ben's out, we won't have any music. Zach's out, we won't have any stories. Jeez.
That's true. That's very true. But Michelle is back. Very importantly.
Wee.
Yes. How was the Baja 1000?
Porque Baja 500.
Okay, I had the most amazing experience, and I told Emily Miller, who drives for Hummer, that I have to like have some experience around her sometime when I don't like have a life-changing experience. But it was one of those.
Was it a life-changing catheter?
It was okay. First of all, the catheters. You know, the funny thing about that is, like, the catheter guys, like, they'll stand in front of you and just pee right in front of you. They don't care.
Wait, does it just empty out their pant leg or something?
They have to actually learn to be able to relieve themselves wherever, and they love having it on. And the funny thing is, the women drivers have actually taught the guy drivers some stuff. Like Emily told me. That
Michelle, we're getting a little bit of robot from you.
Is that working again?
Yes,
it is.
Okay. So when she first started driving for Rod, she would literally put on an adult diaper, get dressed, go to a mall and sit in a parking lot.
And just piss yourself?
Yeah, because you have to learn how to piss yourself. And then next step is you have to learn how to do it while driving really fast, which apparently is much more difficult. And the guys have actually learned from the women drivers now, because the guys don't wear adult diapers. They just have like this kind of thing. It's not like a medical
It's an appliance type thing, right?
Right. And it kind of sits in there and then it drains out. That they get diaper rash, basically. And they're learning from the women drivers that the adult diapers actually make a lot more sense. And then they'll also wear a catheter.
Wow.
I know. I
never knew
like,
of the vagaries of off-road racing and urology.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to imagine someone like Rod doing that or you know, well, here's a name from the past, but Walker Evans. But, I mean, seriously, Robbie Ooh. Gordon. Can you go up to Robbie? Hey, Robbie, how's that diaper feeling on you?
You don't want to think about that, do you?
No.
But then again, it's like really disturbing to be standing in front of, you know, Rod Hall or one of his sons and have them like pee while, you know, they're talking.
They're having a conversation.
Like literally they're kind of leaning on the car and they just pee.
Where does the hose terminate? I just
apparently that's one of the things that they have to learn how to do it while they're moving, because while they're stopped in a pit, if they do it, there's holes in the bottom of the car and it'll actually drain on the people working beneath the cars.
So wait, when they're in the vehicle driving, it just empties on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of gross. A little bit.
But yeah, what I know it doesn't.
Well, it's
not
gets,
your
it gets,
sensitivity.
Could run a clean diesel from it though. All that urea sloshing around.
I was going to say, it's not like it's a clean environment with all the dust from the desert floating around. It probably gets dried up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, that true. And it's probably, what, 150 degrees inside the cab of those trucks?
Michelle?
Yeah, it gets crazy. Well, but at the same time, it was 24 degrees outside at one point.
Oh, wow.
And I have to say, I had like some epic moments where my headlamp was the driver's headlamp in the 761 truck, which was the second H3 that beat the Toyota 4Runner. And Emily wore my Alpine Star gloves that BFG gave me because they were warmer than the gloves that she had. So they won. They were 100 miles behind, over 100 miles behind, and they managed to pull ahead and win. And so I'm kind of thinking that I might start sending random pieces of clothing to the Dodgers. Because, you know, if they start wearing my wool socks, then
or your panties, right?
Exactly. Like, think of the possibilities.
Wow.
I might even be able to do something for the Lions.
I know.
You'd have to own a Salvation Army worth of clothing to send to them, I think. But it sounds like you had a good time out in the desert.
And you might have to fight Alyssa Milano on that Dodger fangirlism, too.
Oh, that's true. She does have all the sports. Yeah. Well, what was so amazing about it was that I actually think I did something good there. And so now apparently I'm going to go cover gazelles in Morocco. Oh. And it's looking like Australasia in the outback.
Wow. Next. So you got invited back round two.
Yes. Yes.
Sweet.
Round two, three, and four.
Awesome. Well, keep us up to date on that. And hopefully you'll be able to Skype in for roundabout in the future when you're out in the field, because that would be awesome to get an update. But
yeah,
it sounds like you had a good time down there in Mexico.
I did. I did. And everyone else was at the Fiesta event.
That's right. Jeff, Eric, myself, we were all there in Dearborn for the big, and I'm making quotes, the big announcement from Ford that the U.S. Fiesta was ready.
The big embargoed announcement?
Yes, which didn't make much sense, but hey, whatever. Anyway, as this is also worth mentioning, as Jeff said earlier, Zach is out this week, as well as Ben. Apparently he had another wedding to go to, was it? I don't recall exactly what his excuse was. Pretty lame, but we'll have to make do this week without any of his stories, so I don't know if we'll be able to make it, guys. But we'll have to try.
You know, for somebody who has, like, the scariest cars ever, like, the most awesome collection and guns, he goes to a lot of weddings.
I know. It's absurd. And Jeff, you were just at a wedding recently, too, weren't you?
I was. And actually, this happened to be a very busy fall for me in terms of weddings.
Really?
I think I had 5 to go to.
5 weddings?
Yeah, all of which were more than 8 hours away from Jacksonville. So,
sucks to be you. Goodness.
Yeah, it was fun.
Free liquor, right?
Free liquor.
Sweet. So anyway, I think that's enough small talk for now. It's time to move on to some of our news stories for this week's episode. And before we get into that, this week's theme, I think it's important to note, is we're doing an LA wrap-up, a wrap-up of the LA Auto Show. So we've got a list of, you know, some of the hot products, some of them not so hot, that were revealed at the show. So shall we?
And this is where, if we had a budget for the show, we could chime in with Randy Newman's I Love LA and pay the RIAA fees, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, because you know what? Nobody loves LA. Stop it.
Nobody walks in LA. I know that.
All right, guys. So first up on our list, I'm just going to ignore that. I'm sure that was a pop culture reference.
It was a song, young lad.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. I'll take your word for it, Jeff. All right?
Nobody walks in LA.
You guys can't see it, but I have my hand on my forehead right now. Just I'm looking down
with an L sign.
No,
with your
I'm leaning on the desk with my hand on the forehead. in disappointment.
Oh.
Speaking of disappointment.
Yeah.
How about the LA show Honda, in general?
How about that Honda Peanut?
What about it?
The less said about it, the better. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. It's, I don't know what can be said that's not already proven by pictures of it, but seeing as how this is the internet, oh, this is not the internet. This is a podcast. This is very one ugly vehicle.
Well, explain a little about it. What is it exactly? Besides ugly. Yeah. So the audience knows. It's called context.
It's a, what, three-passenger vehicle?
The Personal Neo-Urban Transportation Unit.
Yes, PNUT, not PEANUT. Not like the, what is it, a legume? I don't know. I digress. Peanut, PNUT. Personal Neo-Urban Transport.
Rear engine, rear wheel drive,
mm-hmm.
Hybrid.
Fascinating.
Kind of looks like something Scion would come up with.
Yeah, but even uglier.
Yeah.
the face looks like a cross between like the Battlestar, the new Battlestar Galactica Cylon and bad anime.
Or it looks like an Asian man sucking on a lemon, just like all angry and squinting from the sourness.
It's not good.
It's not awful. I don't hate it, but it doesn't set my heart fluttering.
For those of you who wanted a McLaren F1 and that cool three-seater setup, well, maybe not.
It's about as close as you can get.
Right.
Have they said, I mean, is this thing supposed to be great on gas mileage or anything like that?
I would hope, being that it's, what, 30 inches shorter than a Honda Fit?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
As was said on another show, that's definitely a model for the Japanese market where they have the Kai cars. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Michelle, what's your take on this thing? Do you like the styling or no? You saw it up close and in person, so.
You know, it just seems like a ripoff of Smart trying to go a bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs running boards. It has that stupid little line that goes above the rear wheel that drives me nuts. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's definitely an acquired taste. And who knows if they'll build it. It's so concept-y.
Well, of course they won't. I mean, that's...
Ouch.
Of course they won't. I mean, that is like all of the concepts that were at the show. None of them are going to be built. None of them. We haven't seen a concept built
since the PT Cruiser. No,
you're right. Actually, you're right. I mean,
well, the Camaro,
really,
the Camaro and the
Ford GT, but anyway.
CTS Coupe.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Eric, is that a segue?
That could be.
Well,
let's make it one.
Yes.
Let's go for it.
Take it away, Eric.
Well, so the CTS Coupe debuted as a production almost production ready vehicle. It'll be out in the spring, I think April. Hmm. And that debuted, 2 years ago as a concept at the auto show?
I think two years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't last year. It was the year before. Yeah, so
Detroit.
07. Yep. And so far, the reactions I've seen are it's pointy, and I want one.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy.
It's a very sharp car.
Yeah, it is. It's very slab-sided, very angular at the same time. It's very, very nice. I would not mind one in my garage.
I have to say, standing behind it, I had to wonder, like, why does everybody hate the Panamera so much if they're going to love this?
Why? Does it feel like a Panamera? Or
it has an ugly ass.
Well, it looks like they tried just keeping the CTS's lines intact and then changing the roof line almost.
Yeah. You see, when you look at the car, like I said, the sides are very smooth, very slab-sided. The front is a little bit angular. You know, it has essentially the CTS grille. But the back looks, like you said, Michelle, is kind of ugly. I mean, I don't think it's that bad, but it looks like they went at it with a machete almost and just kind of hacked away. It's very sharp, chiseled points to it. I don't know if I care for that so much.
Isn't it weird, like, how the windows keep getting smaller and smaller on the sides?
On you mean everything. As a trend? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to make you feel protected. That world outside is dangerous.
Ooh.
Ooh. I know. There are, like, gangs and stuff and swine flu. So
they've been doing that since the Chrysler 300, though, just in terms of, like, the gangster look or whatever.
Well, I think they've been doing that since, like, the Chrysler LH cars, like the Intrepid. Those had, like, horrible sight lines out the back.
Well, the Camaro is even worse than that. You get a couple, like, tank slits to see through mm-hmm. on the Camaro, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially out the back.
So you said this is coming out early next year, Eric?
Yeah, I believe it's April. I'm looking through the information here once mm-hmm. again, but it's spring of 2010.
And it looks like they're going to do a V series version of it as well.
I should say sell like gangbusters, which means they'll sell 5,000 of them, which would be gangbusters. But
well, at what, like $60,000 a pop, probably.
Probably, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And that's and well. I saw, go ahead, Jeff.
I think I was watching Autoline Daily, and. Brian Nesbitt said that they are looking into possibly making a convertible of this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was from the LA Auto Show, I believe. They taped that. Mr. McElroy.
And apparently GM got wind that he was releasing early information because for mysterious reasons, the broadcast went silent right after that.
Hmm. Did they kill him or something? Make it so he can't talk.
They killed the live transmission, or something happened to the live transmission right after that. So
that's funny. So cool. But
no, it's a great card, and we'll talk about it a little later. And I think you guys had it, Craig. Didn't you guys have the CTS wagon in a couple of weeks ago?
We did. John did a few instant impressions on it. We didn't get anything major of the car for Autoline Daily, but like I said,
because I've got, and I'll talk about it when we get to in the garage. But,
definitely. Definitely.
I've got the wagon in this week, and it's one of those things that was nice. I wasn't blown away immediately from it, but the more I drive it, the more I really like it. Mm-hmm. So.
Definitely. So moving when right along, the next topic on our list here, the next vehicle to talk about is the brand new, all new third generation Toyota Sienna, and that made its world debut at the Los Angeles Auto Show. Now, looking at the photos of this car. It's
a Chrysler Town and Country.
Yeah, it looks a lot like a Town and Country, except how do I put this politely? Fugly. It's just.
It makes the Volkswagen Rutan look good. Yeah, is that what you're trying to say.
You know what? It's fugly, but here's the thing, you guys. You don't realize is that people need a minivan like that.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. I mean, they honestly do. And whether or not anybody thinks they're attractive or not, this has been something that got completely skipped over. We went to SUVs and then crossovers. And in the middle of all that, there was this huge demand where people were sticking with their Town and Countries mm-hmm. because they wanted a minivan.
Well, I think minivans are important and more automakers should offer them, read GM and Ford. But there's no reason they can't look nice. I mean, if you could have something like the Ford Flex, I think that's sharp looking. If you had a Flex that was a little bit taller, you know, maybe a little bit more room in the back as a minivan with sliding doors.
You can't like open the side door and get to your children in the third row.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the advantage of sliding doors on a minivan is.
Mm-hmm. It's like a barn door. You can just go right
and
in
you think, like, as ugly as this as the Sienna is, you'd think that everyone would have learned their lessons from the Nissan Quest.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know,
it's avant-garde.
Stylish minivans don't sell. And chances are this will, just because it says Toyota on the front. So.
That's true. I mean, stylish minivans may not sell, but handsome minivans would be okay. You know, like Town and Country is a perfectly acceptable
the Dodge
looking.
Grand Caravan, big cube.
Yeah. So how did it look up close, Michelle, the Sienna, if you even bothered to go by the Toyota booth and look at it?
Yeah, I kind of like passed the Toyota booth like ever so briefly, and it looked okay. I mean, it looks like a minivan. Mm-hmm. It looks like a reintroduction of, which I was like, okay, fine, great, awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they are what they are, and people need them. Yep. I mean, I sometimes have to question the journalists that, tend to be like male.
Mm-hmm. Are you
doesn't have a V8 and a 5-speed. It's useless.
Right. Or without children, thinking about children, but not thinking like in the way that their wife is thinking about how to function with children. And, I have to say, I have to take the mom's side on this one, where it's actually probably something that people would want.
Are you questioning my credibility, Michelle?
You got to get a girlfriend.
Oh.
Oh, snap. Ouch. Oh. Ouch.
I'm kidding. We want her to be the right one and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. No, for breeders, it's good.
What, dog breeders or?
Maybe you're not a breeder,
Wow.
Oh.
Is this called a tangent?
It's called Destroy Craig's Self-Esteem. He's going to go cry himself to sleep.
I think it's all personal choice, right? Like everybody changes. And the funny thing is when you talk to the manufacturers, it used to be everyone was boxed into, okay, you got the used car from your parents when you were in high school, and then you got boxed into a different segment, which was the college car, which was probably a used car that your parents gave you for college. And then you got your first job and that car suited you. And now cars are like kind of lifestyle oriented. So they don't look now at developing cars for people that are in those segments. They actually are looking at people like how they can develop, keep them lifestyle wise from, driving age through death, literally. Like, birth and death in the automotive world is from the day you get your driver's license. So, some people, that would suit them.
Yep. There's no doubt we need minivans, but I just wish they could build an attractive one. Toyota. And
so you're looking for like a Citroen Picasso or something like that?
No, I'm looking for my bottle of Prozac right now, but I can't find it.
Oh my God. Like, you would have loved some of the Renault like minivans in Europe.
Michelle, you made me sad.
Why? You would have loved them.
I am personally looking forward to the Ford S-Max or the C-Max, whatever it's going to be. Oh, yes. That's essentially a minivan.
It's like a Mazda 5 type thing, a mini minivan of sorts. Think about it. Like the term minivan, mini, the prefix mini implies, it's kind of small.
Are you familiar with the full-size vans of the 60s and 70s and early 80s?
Yeah, but I think like the Town and Country is damn near as big.
No.
And a Sprinter. I mean, it's Sprinter. Well,
okay, this is my logic. Look at the current Dodge Caravan. It's a big friggin' vehicle. Compare it to like the first generation of the Caravan. Those are tiny. Those are absolutely tiny. They're built on a K car.
What new model of car is not longer, wider, and heavier than the preceding model?
I'm sure
Nissan
there's something.
Z?
No, even the Nissan Z is.
No, that got
a little
smaller.
Heavier.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. There's the exception that proves the rule.
I mean, there's always that.
Go look at like a 1979 Honda Civic, and then look at a 1979 Accord.
Absolutely tiny.
And the current Civic is bigger than the Accord of 79.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the current Civic is probably bigger than the first generation Accord.
Yeah. And then go look at like a Honda 600.
Ugh.
I love those.
It's like a pack of matches or something.
So cool.
They're so cute.
No, I'm just saying they're so small.
I know.
They're tiny.
They make a smart car look big. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's all right. There's the Toyota Sienna came out. You can get a V6 or even a four-cylinder engine in it, too. That's kind of interesting. 2.7 liters. But I digress. Moving right along, the next topic on our list, the next vehicle.
The introduction that will never end.
And what's that?
Drum roll, please.
Coming to you in 6 months after we've hyped it for another year.
I think I know what it is. I think I heard about it.
Yeah, it's this thing that there's a lot of internet buzz about.
Michelle sounds absolutely disgusted.
Can I? I can go on.
So let's just say that we're talking about the Ford Fiesta now. Yes. Now, just to tee it up a little bit. Now, Michelle, you can do your Dennis Miller here. Of, I don't mean to go on a rant here, but
the Fiesta agents. I mean, I'm sorry, but I know Fiesta agents and I love some of the Fiesta agents, but what a bunch of people just looking for acting jobs or more YouTube views or
they're attention whores, aren't they?
More MySpace followers or whatever it was. I mean, it was in retrospect, like Ford actually courted me, which I'm a bit embarrassed about now that I actually responded, but I actually applied. And then when I was functioning on
you applied
two
to
sides.
Be a Fiesta agent?
I did. You can go on YouTube. Go look it up, Eric. Go look up Miss Motormouth Fiesta agent. Like, it's on YouTube. You can show it. It was one of those things where I was on both sides of the fence. So they like appealed to me as a consumer, but then they were also sending me the press releases. And I felt like such a stupid ass when I'd
stupid ass.
I did. When I submitted my Fiesta.
You're such a stupid ass.
I felt like it. I submitted my YouTube video and I got the press release that basically was saying to me as the press person,
yeah,
we're looking for people that were born between 1993 and, you know, whatever.
I 93.
Mean, I was, no, it was like 80 something in 93. It was like this ridiculous number, and I was born in 67. I make no
Holy
mistake
crap.
About saying that, right? Like, I'm 42 years old, and I went, oh my god, I'm not their demographic. And all they did was actually encourage me to do it so that I would encourage the people that I know in their demographic to do it. And one of my friends who is in their demographic actually won a Fiesta.
Sweet.
And he's one, yeah, sweet. Awesome. And I've gotten to ride in it, and we've had you know, some really fun times doing some promotions in it, but
really fun times in it. Okay,
you know what the thing is, the car's not going on sale for another 6 months, so that generation, I can tell you, they're all ADD worse than me.
They're all gonna get bored with it if they're not bored already. Yeah, that's the one thing I have to say about this car is, what the hell is taking Ford so long to get it to market? Now, look, I know that they engineered it in Europe and Japan, whatever, to meet their safety crash standards. But what is so difficult about bringing it here? I know some things have to be tweaked, but it's taken them, what, 2-3 years to bring it to the U.S.? That just is absurd to me. You know, it seems like it would be a one-year thing done.
It really goes back to the lobbyists for the insurance groups. Everyone I've talked to in the industry, where I've gone like, why is that? Why is that? It has to do with the safety standards the insurance groups are actually demanding. They're adding a lot of weight to the car. They're adding bumpers. They're adding, and of course, they have to change out those European air vents and put in the crappy Detroit air vents, you know?
Because it's a safety hazard, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
19 product liability lawyers haven't signed off on them for the U.S. market. So, It goes to a larger issue too, and we could look at the same thing with the Fiat 500. It's like, you know, Fiat had to have been thinking about selling that car in the U.S. because Fiat's talked about coming back to the U.S. market for like 5 or 6 years. So why does it take 2 years to bring that car here? Shouldn't it already be engineered to do so?
And you know, if they brought them over, Fiat, the Fiat 500 or the Fiesta, it's not like they're death traps and you're going to roll the car 16 times pulling down your driveway and you're going to die in an inferno, you know? I mean, they're perfectly safe.
But it's all about like insurance standards and damage. Like, I was talking to the guy in Dearborn for the embargoed event, and they said the reason they changed the hood and the fascia was for like a crush, like a damage zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if it gets into an accident, there's a certain space that it will crumple before any damage happens to the hood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just ridiculous the laws we have here.
Yeah. It goes to two larger things, which I was going to say is one is the Insurance Institute is brainwashed people now so that unless your car is a minimum of 4 stars, they're going to try and tell you that it's dangerous, right? Which is not true at all. And then the other one is the fact that the two largest car markets right now, which are the U.S. and Europe, although that'll change with China here very shortly.
They're bigger than we are, actually.
Okay.
Two of the biggest
U.S. So let's just say that between these two markets, there's somewhere around 20 million vehicles a year sold. You'd think that somehow they could harmonize the emissions and crash standards between the two because everyone's trying to sell cars everywhere else now or to each other. It would think that that might just be, what, $2 billion in savings for manufacturers?
Yeah.
No, that gives up some of our government's power if we let Europe dictate our crash standards. We're never going to let that happen.
Not Europe, but, I mean, everything, you know, crash standards, emission standards, just make, you know, like a United Nations of automotive industries.
That's a great idea.
No, what the real problem is that, I mean, you know, Eric and I are probably of the same generation where we actually did driving education in our school.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was part of the high school curriculum. It was sometimes extracurricular, right?
Now
it's become privatized and parents are actually expected to teach their kids parents have the option of doing their own driver's education.
That's terrifying, as awful as most people drive.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying. And it tells you like how our education budgets have gotten cut and the insurance industry is actually reacting to that because they know that kids who are taught by their parents to drive, we've covered this before, are more likely to get into accidents, right? So it actually, the trickle down is it completely changes the way that we have to design our cars.
Safety is killing us.
It's true.
Michelle,
as paradoxical as that sounds.
Depending on, I don't know how much extra time you got to spend down in Mexico, but I remember seeing a video from a few years ago where some guys from the U.S. went down. Actually, it was Kid Rock, so we'll just, anyways. But they went to for this tour down into the Copper Canyon, which is not Baja. It's the regular part of Mexico. But it was talking about how you see people in cars and, you know, kids in the back of pickup trucks, you know, riding in the beds of pickup trucks and reminded them of growing up in the 70s. And now if you were to even think about that, you'd probably be arrested for child abuse, right? Yeah.
But what if you had your kid on the back of your motorcycle, you know?
If he's wearing a helmet, that's fine. Yeah,
well, it's just as dangerous. If you get hit by something, you get hit by a car when you're on your bike, you're in serious trouble, you know?
Yeah, but you go to India and, you know, you'll see a motorcycle with literally 5 people on a motorcycle.
A kindergarten riding on the back.
Their answer is the Tata Nano. Yeah.
which has open connections on the battery inside the passenger compartment.
It was a fire hazard, wasn't it? They were having something. The cars were burning, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. Well, you try to build a car for $3,000.
Yeah. Okay, well, enough bitching about the Fiesta. Let's hit some of its stats. It's actually a pretty nice car. I've driven the Euro version, blast to drive, refined, available in some wild colors. Like, what was the green one? Is what?
It's very tight. It drives very tight. Absolutely. Like, I mean, you know, it holds.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they're going to have a 1.6 liter four cylinder in there. What's mm-hmm. it? What does it kick out? I forget the horsepower number. Like 115? 119.
Sounds about right. 119. Yeah.
But it's going to deliver a highway fuel economy of 40. So that's pretty good. 30 in the city, if I recall.
I believe you're correct.
You are correct, sir.
I have my notes right here.
But the what I was most impressed by was that Ford was debuting its new dual-clutch transmission on the car. Now, this is a cheap, small car. You wouldn't expect them to put such a high-tech 6-speed dual-clutch transmission in it, but that's what they're doing. And I think that's part of the reason why it gets 40 on the highway. So I'll be interested to drive it when it comes out, because the one that I tested had the 5-speed manual. But
I had, and I think the three of us talked about this at the event a little bit, but when you think dual clutch, you think usually like sporty type vehicles, and you want to kind of play with the shifting yourself. But in this setup, it's literally just set up as a 6-speed automatic. The fact that it's a DSG box is sort of like
no paddle here, shifters. Look at this
No paddle shifters at all in that thing. So why even bother to talk about? I'm just saying, from my standpoint, which is not mainstream consumer, obviously, but why even talk about it being a DSG and just not call it a 6-speed auto, unless you're just trying to say, look how cool we can be?
Because I think they're really trying to appeal to that tuner crowd that they were appealing,
or they're trying to set themselves apart from GM and Chrysler. You know, they've been saying we're different. They didn't take government money. Maybe this is another way they're trying to do it subtly.
I think it's more of the look how cool we are.
Yeah, probably.
I say the tuner crowd, like, okay, but if you can't play with the paddle shifters,
but there's a ton of people that are wannabe tuners.
Okay,
right.
I got my Focus.
Oh, were you making an impersonation of my voice there, Jeff?
No, I was just trying to not sound like myself.
And we should say that the interior of that Fiesta is actually pretty nice, and the quality of leather for the leather seats is really, really phenomenal. It's not what you'd expect in a sub $20,000 car.
For a B level, it's awesome.
Absolutely.
At the Fiesta party, there were people wearing knee pads as accessories. We're like, none of us are that generation.
Were they like blowing Ford? Is that why they had knee pads on or what?
No, like the Fohawks were in full rock and they were sporting the knee pads as accessories. I don't know. I'm lucky to put in earrings.
You're a t-shirt and jeans kind of gal, right?
Well, you know me.
The other thing, I guess, and we can stop our sales pitch for Ford on the Fiesta is...
I was just going to cut you off.
You can go and build your own Fiesta and reserve it now, and if you do that, you get free audio upgrade. Is that what it was? I can't remember now.
Yeah. Wasn't it sync and audio upgrade, I thought?
Yep.
Something like
free sync and audio, which is like $600 or $700 worth of options. So, which is cool. The only thing I was disappointed, I didn't reserve one, but I went and built one just to price it out, and it came in at $19,600.
Well, you're an options hog.
No, I think I picked three options. But I was I couldn't get the red, or no, I couldn't get blue with the red leather interior. So
why would you want that combination?
That's so hideous.
It actually looks really good.
Are you that big of a Detroit Pistons fan?
No,
he's a motorcycle driver.
He's patriotic. Like, red, white, and blue
jacket.
So what I decide? No. So what I decided is that I would get one in white. And then I'd take it either to have someone paint or do some graphics so that I could do the old Martini racing graphic stripes on it. That actually would look really good on that car. So,
well, enough about Ford. I'm blue in the face from it. But our next car in the list, Hyundai Sonata. Now that really caught my eye when I saw it. There were some spy photos out a while back, but now that they've formally unveiled it, it's a pretty damn good looking car. Thoughts, opinions?
Silence? I think it's the best looking car Hyundai's ever come up with.
I would agree with you.
I was going to say it looks like Lexus ES300,
except not ugly,
and kind of like a Volkswagen CC type too.
Yeah, there's that like rising, curving belt line to it. Kind of.
You know what's
like
funny is right before we came on, I was listening to NPR in LA, and Dan Neal was on NPR saying that it was challenging Mercedes-Benz and BMW. What do you guys think about that?
In terms of design, I would see that, but I doubt it would be challenging to them in terms of powertrain or even.
Well, I will say this. I remember 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago at the Detroit Auto Show, and I got into an Azura, and I go, this is the nicest Buick I've ever been in. So in 4 years, the rate they're going, I could almost see them C-Class Mercedes anyways.
But they've got that twisted H on the grill. Will people look past that and treat them like on par with Mercedes or something? I don't know.
I think they need to do some kind of image overhaul, at least maybe have like a separate brand for cars like this, mm-hmm. almost like Infiniti.
You mean like Genesis? Equus?
Yeah, like if they're coming up with Equus and Genesis and all these, you know, luxury cars that are much better than some of their competitors but still have the Hyundai name, I think they'd almost be better splitting the brand in two almost.
Yeah. How many people realize that Lexus is a premium Toyota, you know, or Acura is a premium Honda? I don't think a lot of buyers are aware of that necessarily, you know.
Or that Scion is just a Toyota.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you guys like the styling on the new Sonata, the 2011 Sonata?
Looking at the picture in this press release we have for our show notes link, that view is the best view I've seen of it and would change my opinion of it somewhat. Because before I just said, eh, looks like a Camry. But that, this picture makes it look much, much more aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle, I got to ask you again, in person, how is it?
I think Eric's right. It's kind of like your girlfriend taking a picture from below. You know, mm-hmm. not you personally.
We already went over this. I don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you had one. That is a really good view of it in that press release that we're looking at right now. But, I mean, it's okay. You know, I have to say that I'm not excited by the design as much as a lot of people were.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, some of the mechanicals of the car are pretty interesting, too. It looks like they've got a new generation of four-cylinder engine in the car, the Theta 2, and it's got direct injection, and they're matching that with a six-speed automatic transmission. And they say it's going to get up to 35 on the highway, which is a pretty damn good number for a, you know, a sizable car like that. And then it looks like
which is cool, but, like, why do you need a six-speed transmission with a four-cylinder, really?
Because everybody believes that's the key to fuel economy right now.
I'd rather a six-speed than a four-speed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, true.
I mean, gears makes the it makes it more flexible. Jeff, you're gonna.
Oh, I was just like when the Malibu came out with the four-cylinder and the six-speed, it was such a big deal, and then everyone's done it since. So. I think it's almost becoming a standard that six speeds, the cheap transmission now, and now, you know, Porsche has seven speed, Infiniti's got eight speed, yeah. Or Audi's got eight speed.
Yeah. Mercedes or BMW and Audi both have eight speeds now.
A8 have eight speed?
Yeah. Yep. That was one of their big technical things about the car.
So the thing that impressed me about this car and hearing about it, from the live auto line show from the Hyundai guy who I think should be running GM here next week. I'm going to call him John Klimchuk, but that's not his name.
Kraftcheck.
Thank you. Impressive guy. But he might just be a good marketing guy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hyundai's doing pretty well. I mean,
yeah. There, when you start from a low number, it's easy to have big growth numbers.
That's true.
But the fact that they were able to drop 170 pounds or almost 200 pounds out of the car from the previous generation,
mm-hmm.
And actually, it's I think they said it's just a bit physically larger. And they did it, unlike other car companies dropping 176 pounds from the car, by keeping a real roof and keeping air conditioning and not having to go to exotic materials in, on the inside of it. But then that goes to the point of it was designed, engineered, and built just to be a four-cylinder car, no V6 option. And the compromises they didn't have to make in design because of that. So.
Last night I was with Adam Barrera from Speed Sport Live, and you know, he covered on behalf of Auto Trader, of course, at the LA Auto Show, and he's high mileage on Twitter, and he was making the point, and I think he's absolutely right. Like, Hyundai's actually reintroduced superlatives to all of us because they actually get to say we're best in class, like across all of their models right now. And so they're kind of changing the dialogue that happens around a car company where they get to actually say, like, you know, perfect styling, perfect whatever, you know, amazing, you know, all those great superlatives that I think we, that's one of the reasons we all kind of go like, meh, like we get bored with cars, right?
Yeah.
And Hyundai actually kind of is doing that. You know, I'm a Kia fan. Hyundai's great. I don't know. I like what they're doing marketing wise. I like what they're doing style wise, but I don't know.
Well, one good thing for Hyundai is they said this is one of seven cars that will feature this kind of styling.
Really?
Well, they is this the first design from the guy they poached from Audi?
I think so. The fluidic sculpture, they call it.
I mean, you can look at the nose and you could almost see an Audi grill in there if you look hard enough.
And a frown. It's so anti-Mazda, right? Like, look at that little, like, frown. It's grumpy. It's the curmudgeon. Like, I'm serious.
Nothing's as frowny as the new Tucson's going to be. It's got the same mean look in the front.
Or it has Down syndrome. I haven't made up my mind.
Wow.
Which was, we don't have the Tucson on the list, but it's interesting to note that the Tucson, they didn't do the unveiling at the LA Auto Show. They actually waited until they had journalists at an evening invite only event to unveil the new Tucson. So they didn't have, like, the other manufacturers and all everybody there, which, you know, is kind of snobby.
Is Hyundai getting too big for their britches now? Maybe.
Well, you know. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, that's enough about the new Sonata. Eric, why don't you tell us a little about the VW concept from the show?
And so VW has been in the last, well, they have done this in the past, but they're starting to push some of their concept cars for this 3 liter per 100K goal that's been out there for a long time, which is essentially 70 plus miles to the gallon on the highway. And
pretty damn good number.
Yeah. And non-hybrid. This is with a TDI motor. So proper Dino fueled machine. And doable in a lot of ways. So they came up with they had one at Frankfurt, I believe, earlier this year is when it was, and I think we even talked about it on the show.
The Up, are you talking about? Or you
the
mean
1 liter?
The one liter car. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this is, I'm not going to say an evolution of that, but it's a continuation of that sort of that theme of what they're trying to do in some of their cars and highlight lightweight, highlight TDI. So 800cc two-cylinder TDI motor. It does. I mean, it does have electric motors, though, but...
Yeah. Well, the diesel kicks out 51 horsepower?
Yeah, 51 horsepower, 88 foot-pounds of torque, so...
And the electric motor gives you 13 more.
Yep.
That just sounds... With sedans with 200 horsepower today, that just sounds like nothing, you know?
And I can't remember... I heard a weight number on this thing, and I'm just scanning through some of the documentation here, but... It weighs half of what a current vehicle weighs, so you don't need 300 horsepower V6 to move it. It's a nice thing about lightweight. Yep.
But it's, I believe,
its aerodynamics are very top of the line too.
Yep.
That's important if you want to get that mileage number up, definitely. But the weight savings, if I remember right, they said that they used a lot of aluminum and carbon fiber in the car. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. You guys recall?
Yep.
Because and that if they're going to plan on building this vehicle, that's going to cost them a fortune, you know? Audi tried it with the A2 a few years ago, and they weren't able to, I guess, be profitable with it. It was all aluminum, used their space frame technology. So I don't know how VW would be able to build something.
Well, aluminum and carbon fiber technology has changed a lot. I mean, GM has done a ton with aluminum laminates, and it's basically reduced, like, I mean, you know, of course, the people that actually manufacture the parts and then sell them to the manufacturers. And carbon technology has been hugely underwritten by the government to get carbon fiber to be cheaper and cheaper and cheaper every year. So yeah. It's actually one of those things. It's like a great investment for everybody for the government and for the manufacturers to actually invest in this technology. And it's coming. It's gonna change the way that things are done. I mean, some of the cars that GM is making right now are actually the laminates, which I think I talked about before, which are actually aluminum with cardboard in between the layers. And
sounds
so
familiar. Didn't they do that on the Corvette? I thought, like, in the floor pan, it had aluminum and, like, balsa wood or something. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
No, it was balsa wood.
I think so. Mm. Yeah, and part of the cars that are coming out of the Fairfax GM plant are actually laminate as well, which I think is the Malibu and now the LaCrosse.
Fairfax, what state?
Virginia.
Kansas.
I don't know.
So it's definitely growing that the cars are going to be lighter. I mean, everyone's trying to do it.
Yeah. And before with carbon fiber where you had to, you know, put it in a vacuum bag and then put it in an oven for like 3 or 4 weeks for it to cure. I think they've got a lot of that stuff down to days. Under a week now on how to do a lot of that, which makes it obviously much easier to mass produce.
Yeah, that's cool.
It should be the simplest solution on the world, right? Like everything on this earth is made out of carbon. We should be able to make carbon fiber.
It's nanotubes,
magma. It's funny, you know, 51 horsepower. It's got 51 horsepower from the diesel. 13 with, you know, when you add the electric motor to it. And they say it'll have a top speed of about 100 miles an hour. And like you said, Eric, deliver, you know, roughly 70 miles per gallon. But they say the 0 to 60 run will be about 12 seconds.
Yeah, so it's
pretty quick for considering, what is it, 64 horsepower total?
I mean, if you think about, like, this is built more for a European model or Japan or China where it's a lot of, you know, packed city driving and short stuff. It's a perfect vehicle for what that is here. Here in the U.S., maybe not so much, where we tend to drive much further distances and stuff. Yep. But if you think about it, 88 horsepower combined. If you go back to, let's say,
about what 64 horsepower.
Okay, sorry. But yeah. Okay, so that was the horsepower in the Mark II diesel Golf. So you know.
Well, it's funny to me. You know, 1932. Ford came out with the flathead V8, and that was like the performance car of its day. You know, it had 65 horsepower, 65 in 1932, and that was like a rocket back then. So, I mean, to get a sedan today or any like average small car with 200 horsepower is just huge, and most people don't realize how far we've come, you know?
I'm just saying, even look back just 30 years.
Absolutely.
And
that was...
Anybody driving this could throw down on a smart car driver in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Plus, the up doesn't look like it's been chopped in half, you know?
Well, looking at this, it's almost... You can almost see, like, a future design element they might use towards, say, the next generation Golf. I mean, this could be a future car, maybe not.
If you change to the nose, it looks it has a very striking similarity to the new Scirocco,
which we're not getting, and I'm sad.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. We get dumped on in the U.S. We don't get any of the cool products.
We're not Scottish, so we get crap.
Hey, we get the Fiesta.
I haven't heard, really.
Oh. I made a joke to someone. I says, "Okay, so you want the because everyone joked the enthusiast crowd. Yeah, we really want the Focus RS here and this and that." And I'm like, "Okay, go buy a Mazda 3. You know, go buy a Volt C30."
Yeah, everyone that sits there and complains, "Oh, we need this car here. I would buy this." And then, like the G8, they brought the G8 over, and not that many people bought them.
Until they went on sale at $7,000 off list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those are great cars. They just.
Yeah. I was almost thinking though, I was like, so we get the current generation Focus here in the US as a Mazda and as a Volvo, but we can't get it as a Ford for another 18 months. At which time.
Well, we're going to get the third generation, aren't we? I think we're getting the C3 platform.
Yeah, third generation. It's all going to be a global Focus when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because the current Focus that we've had has been made since, what, 99?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's 98? The C170 platform, I believe, and that's been around a long time. Yeah. It's not rivaling the Panther yet, but it's getting up there. But all right. We're talking about the VW Up Light concept from the LA Auto Show. We've got another story to talk about here. Another VW company. Jeff, why don't you tell us about the new Audi A8?
On the complete opposite spectrum from the VW Uplight, Audi A8 was introduced for the 2011 model year, and that is going to be one scary vehicle for the BMW 7 Series and Mercedes-Benz S-Class, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You and I were both on the launch event of that, and that was a pretty cool event. Kind of weird, though. It was down in Miami. Yeah.
I mean, it was about as weird as the Fiesta event, if you think about it. It's just really not that useful. They could have sent us that money they spent on us. And some press clips, and it probably would have been better.
The $50 Kobe beef we had for dinner?
Yeah, I have to say,
you got to take you.
Oh,
don't
on.
Speak through your voice Sorry. Box.
What's that?
Okay, I'm back.
All right, you put the voice box down. Good.
I did. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I would, you know, just in terms of press events, I was really stressing because I was supposed to be at the Fiesta thing and I wasn't invited to the Audi thing. I accidentally walked into an Audi event one time.
You crashed an Audi event?
I did by accident.
Audi crasher.
Should be crashing the White House next.
I was at the.
Was that unintended acceleration?
Sorry. It was. I was at the Flex event, or I was supposed to be at the Flex event, and I walked in and I said, "Oh, I'm supposed to be here for the, you know, automotive thing." And they were like, "Oh, here in the library." And it was in Santa Monica. And they like directed me into this little room at this very posh little boutique hotel. And I walk in and to this little teeny library, and there were like 8 guys, and they were all, I think, like German, Swedish, whatever. And they're watching a video. And I went, "Hi, I'm here for the Flex." And they all were like, "You do not belong here.
Get out.
Get out. You do not belong here." And one of them, the one with the wedding ring, goes, "But here's my card."
What?
Which made me laugh.
Was his name Eldrick? Oh, sorry.
I know, right? But the Flex thing, like, I stressed on not going to that event because, you know, when you know, you get invited to somewhere, and I'd never been to Detroit, and I was hoping to come to meet you guys. And I got the offer to go to Baja, and when I called Ford, and I was like, "I'm really sorry, I don't know what to do." They were like, go to Baja, because believe me, the deep dive, it's not going to be interesting.
Like, they said they derided their own event. This is boring. Let's go to that one. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. And they're in public relations. They're supposed to be like spinning things, and they just say, "No, go to that one."
How could you miss it?
Exactly. And I was like, "Okay, I don't feel so bad now. Thank you."
Wow.
I just had to insert that. Sorry.
That's okay. So Jeff, tell us about the A8 then. What are your thoughts on the car? Anything?
If they bring the TDI they showed off, I still couldn't afford it, but I would still
none of us could afford it more. If we took all of our journalist incomes and added them together and then like squared it, I don't think we could.
Oh, it's a very sharp car. The new look is much better.
Talk about the headlights, because those are kind of controversial, aren't they?
It's not that much different, I think. I don't know. It was weird because it's still boxy, mm-hmm. but it's just got that elegant definition that the R8 and the A4 had put together.
See, I was not that impressed with the car. I love the current generation A8, and maybe I'm living in the past. Maybe I'm too eclectic. But the new one, I thought, looked a little bit misguided, the design, because Audi is known for doing very clean, elegant, simple cars, you know? And this one just had, it seemed to have a bit too much going on for my eye. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'll get used to it, but...
Was it those LED headlamps that messed it up for you?
That was part of it. To my eye, I didn't understand why they had that, like, kick up in the LEDs, you know? It seems very un-Audi to do that.
Because they're free to do whatever they want with the design, and they decided to do it?
Well, yeah, but it seems like... Audi designs
didn't
are very logical.
The car.
They're very logical to my eye. You know, the LEDs when they have their parking lights, they typically will follow the bottom edge of the headlamp assembly, or like on the Q7, they go up.
But I mean, compared to the old car, you know, this is like an evolution of that, and it incorporates like the awesomeness of the R8 and kind of like the elegance of the A4. And throws it into a big, huge luxury sedan.
Mm-hmm. I can see what you're talking about. But there are just a couple things in the car that didn't look right to my eye. Like the LEDs, they have this weird like kick up to them. They're kind of shaped like a 7, but turned on its back. And it looks weird to me. I don't know what you think about that particular part, Jeff.
No, when I first saw the lights, I thought it was a 7 too. I'm like, I wonder what that even implies. But
going after the 7 series, maybe.
Yeah.
A 7 and an L. 7 series Lexus LS.
L7 loser.
Exactly.
L7 was a good band.
Okay.
I don't know that band.
Did any of you guys watch the actual... unveiling online in Miami?
We were there in real life, Michelle.
Yes, I was there in the flesh.
I was standing a mere 100 feet from Lucy Liu. Okay?
I got a picture with Lucy Liu.
The question is at least from one of the, I can't remember if it was someone on Twitter or one of the blogs, that I got the impression that Lucy Liu's intro was taken from the Bataan Death March up at Chrysler.
It was pretty bad. She needs some reading lessons, I think, to get the
guy
down,
next to me, like everyone was kind of out of it at this point. They made us walk 2 blocks to get to the thing. And there was an
Asian.
Oh,
my God.
Man.
Lazy Americans.
2 blocks.
We will make them walk.
We
2
get
blocks.
Fat off them. No, but it wasn't the walk. It was like the laziness of the whole thing. Like, yeah, we're just going to do this and float around, and we might have dinner, we might not.
Which we didn't.
But the guy next to me, apparently he was this bigwig that knew the head designer of the A8, because they were talking earlier. He falls asleep, and he's got his head on my shoulder. Like,
he likes
10
you,
minutes. 10 minutes
puppy.
In.
Wow. So yeah, I heard they spent $9 million on the event.
Oh.
Had like 1,000 people there.
On the online event, it was horrible. Like, we all just sat there. I and you guys are going to laugh. I started watching it. A neighbor child showed up with a kitten for me to rescue, got the kitten, took it in with like my computer playing the entire time, took the kitten in, washed it, like made it dinner.
Put it in the dryer.
Yeah, exactly.
And the microwave.
Like my daughter came down. I introduced my daughter and the other animals in my house to the kitten that I had just saved, came back, sat down, and I was still sitting there watching flashing lights on the screen of the event where you guys were, and like no car. It was like the most ridiculously long introduction.
Oh, speaking of long, did you listen to the German guy's speech? What was he, the head of the Audi board? It was like, oh my God, stop talking.
Yes. And they were streaming it through their Facebook fan page. And at one point, because they have like Facebook people on the side commenting, one of the Facebook fans actually said, like, Audi has a new meaning. It means I'm Audi here.
No, that's funny.
Audi here.
Audi here.
Audi here. That's good.
Yeah. It was the worst introduction ever. Like the honestly, Ford did a better job in India with the Figo or whatever that thing was called.
Yeah. Figo,
the Fuego.
You're
an old Fuego. Yeah.
So the event was they built like a building, like a separate auto show display, but an entire air conditioned, climate controlled building out on the beach, and it had all the electronics in it. It was just incredible. The amount of money they wasted on this reveal, like I couldn't believe it. And
but
then,
at least they're doing something good for the community, and they're making that probably $10 million plot of land into a park for kids.
Oh, that's right. I did. You know, that wasn't in my script. I just wanted to bring that up, though.
Yeah,
Jeff. That's what Lucy Liu said in her speech. She's like, yeah, and just as a side note, Audi's going to donate this land and they're going to put a playground here. That's not in my script. I just wanted to say that.
And like, also not in my script, Audi cured cancer and they eliminated global warming. So, but I wasn't told to say that.
But they did. It's incredible.
So, Lucy, the actress Lucy Liu couldn't read a script. That's what you're telling us?
A prompter.
Yeah, she had a teleprompter, like,
she had several
and
teleprompters because she wouldn't.
She made
speech
Barack
walk,
Obama look like a good teleprompter reader. Is that what you're saying?
She'd make George Bush look like a good
George Bush. Yes, that would have been a better joke.
Number 43. Yeah,
but Ben Kinnett,
it's Eric. He has to make the Obama joke.
Someone's got to be the random libertarian in here.
All right, so, you know, if you've got questions about the A8, I'm sure we failed to answer all of them, but just go Google it. You can figure it out yourself.
Would you say the Audi A8 sort of has been and will continue to be the car for people who would like to have a BMW 7 Series or Mercedes S-Class but don't either want to appear to flaunt how much money they have or look like a douchebag?
Well, the Audi's just a better car, I think, but okay. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Agree to disagree here.
I like the A8. You can get a used one for about 30 cents on the dollar most of the time.
Don't
so.
Buy a used German car. Don't ever own a German car outside of warranty. That's my advice. Ever. Don't even think about it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, guys, this is a good spot to take a quick break and hear a few words from one of our generous sponsors. After that, we'll get to our blind spot story of the week. Plus, we'll talk about what we've had in the garage. So don't go anywhere. A lot more great stuff is coming up right after this.
Merle Snaggins here for another fine Grampy Boykins product, Confederated Fuels and Bait Show. Hoity-toity gas stations got you singing the blues. People with clean fingernails and matching socks thinking they better than you. Well, visit Pappy Boykin's Confederated Fuels, where I assure you, you'll never pay extra for fanciness. It's barely what you need and nothing more. This is Merle Snaggins. Go on now. Get yourself some.
Every time I pass through the South, I make sure to swing by Grandpa Perkins Confederated Fuels for a dose of old-fashioned service. And you should, too. Go on now. Give them a try. Say, Michelle, have you ever been to Grandpa Perkins Confederated Fuels?
You know what? I get all of my oil changes there.
Well, good. They've got a real personal touch. And you don't
the
find
lube
that.
The lube is awesome. Yeah.
And immediately it takes a turn for the worse.
Ben's dad is not here. This can't happen.
Yeah, you're right. Oh. Okay, and with that, it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. Tonight's story hits particularly close to home for you, Michelle. Now, you, as we've mentioned, you were at the LA Auto Show, and you saw all the new hot new product that was revealed. And Ford had another reveal besides the Fiesta, and that was the Mustang V6. Huh? Did you get a chance to check that out? Did you check it out?
I did.
That's pretty cool. What'd you think? 305 horsepower.
Mm-mm. More powerful and, you know, more powerful with better MPG. I mean, you know, that's what everybody wants right now, right?
Absolutely. You can have your cake and you can eat it too.
Mmm, cake.
Mmm.
That's why you've been going to so many weddings.
Free cake.
Free cake and free liquor.
It's, anyway. You know, it's, I think it's kind of awesome that they keep developing the body 2005 plus, but improving the engine. I think that's awesome. I really do. Think about it this way. If you, the development money that went into developing the Camaro was kind of a bit of a waste, right? When you think about that, they already had this body and they just keep improving the engine as they improve other technologies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing EcoBoost and, you know, all the different things. It's a great investment.
Yeah, it just makes sense. I mean, that's what
Toyota's
a
master. That's
not a
cougar sound. That is a dog sound. Someone's barking in the background.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, Lola, I guess, was saying that the V6 Camaro was a dog.
Who was saying that?
Lola, okay. That would be my English Mastiff.
Oh, okay. Good girl.
L-O-L-A, Lola.
So, yeah, the trying to keep this on topic here. The Mustang V6, 3.7-liter V6, gets twin independent variable cam timing and 305 horsepower. Plus, with the automatic, 30 on the highway. That's pretty good. And it's a six-speed automatic, too.
It's the plus one engine for it's the plus one V6 engine when going against the Camaro.
Absolutely. They just had to one up them, literally.
Yep.
One more horsepower, one more mile of the gallon.
And hell, it's going to work too. I bet the Camaro's dominance over the Mustang this year is going to disappear with the 2011 model.
Yeah.
Well, this, and then they're coming out with the new V8 motor, which we talked about a couple shows ago.
Yes,
so
this will be a nice lineup.
Mm-hmm.
If they throw EcoBoost,
I don't know if anybody.
It,
yeah, I don't know if anybody caught, like, but the whole GM thing that they're trying to compete with EcoBoost is they had the brilliant name of EcoTech.
Well, that was out years before.
Yeah.
Right. Which they're trying to redo again. Mm. So, yeah. And the
low
cruise.
Tech maybe. But, yeah, 2011 Mustang. Get some nice upgrades. So check it out. And really, Michelle, you own the current V6 Mustang, or rather, what was it, an 05?
It's an 05.
V6.
Yeah.
But that engine is a goddamn boat anchor, isn't it?
It's been around since the 70s, I think.
The Cologne V6.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I'll tell you this. I mean, Paul was driving to work the other day, and I was going to South Orange County with him. When I was on my way to Baja, he was driving me to the train station. And I mean, we just, you know, I get in the car and I don't even think about it. And he got a ticket and a $500 ticket.
$500?
Yeah.
For
speeding in a construction zone or something?
No. This was on the 405.
Molesting
he was going,
children or something?
You can speed on the 405?
He was going, we were in the HOV lane and he was going 81. And I kind of looked out the window and saw the policeman sitting over at the side of the road and thought, I think we're passing everybody right now. I wonder if he minds. Because when you get that car going, it just goes. I mean, it's so easy.
Mm-hmm. It's like a $10 whore.
Yeah, $500 whore.
No.
So how was it? How was that a $500 ticket?
It was
California. Everything's expensive.
He was supposed to be going 65, and it was an 81.
And that's $500.
So. Damn, that's like $150 ticket here.
Yeah, that's not nearly that bad. Wow. Well, you guys are in a budget crisis, so gotta help.
Exactly. He's like saving the school system or something.
Well, it's a noble thing then. So thank him for protecting the future. But all right, enough Mustang, enough V6. Let's talk about what we've had in the garage this week. All right, and Eric, you've had a vehicle finally. It's been months, I think, since you've driven anything. Why don't you tell us what you had and what you thought of it?
I had a CTS wagon dropped off on Monday, and it's actually a vehicle I've been very interested and excited to take a closer look at. And when the styling I like just from every single angle, I really really like it.
Mm-hmm.
When I first The first day or two I drove it, I was underwhelmed, I guess was the best, but I was just running around in town because it didn't feel, I don't know, it felt lacking. But yesterday and today when I've had to put some reasonable miles on it, it's really, really come around, and I'm starting to get that, if you're going to spend 50 grand on a car, it should feel special, and I was starting to mm-hmm. really, really feel that today.
Well, and, the CTS and is a damn fine car.
Excellent. I have some questions about some of the interior materials in there that they don't feel they don't belong in a $50,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
The design of the interior I like. I think it's well laid out. I have some other issues with like their version of sync and how it all works and how the fact that when I plug my iPod Touch in there, it won't work at all. And I guess that's a pretty common problem as I've surfed the interwebs, but. Wow. As a car to drive, as a car with room, as a functional machine, I'm pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, certainly a nice looking car. Now, what parts of the interior do you find cheap? I'm just curious. Are they just like the rocker panels or something? Hard plastic or what?
Some of the what appears to be metal trim on the steering wheel and on the center stack there
mm-hmm.
feels a little cheap.
Does it creak? Whenever I get in a new car, I take my finger and I just push on everything and listen if it crackles or makes noise.
It looks like brushed aluminum veneer.
Okay.
There's not enough of it there. It looks like it's a real thin veneer.
Yeah.
And then some of the leather in the interior, I guess technically it's soft touch leather, but it's a pretty thin layer of soft touch material underneath. And I was looking at it to be a little more luscious, I guess, mm-hmm. too, in quality, but I could be nitpicky. I got to find a BMW. Well,
you need a Tempura, a Tempur-Pedic mattress on the dashboard. I mean,
no, nothing crazy like okay. that. But like I said, I just need to look at a current Mercedes or BMW and compare it, and then maybe I can reset what I think it should be for that level of money. So,
well, cool car nonetheless.
Yes.
And Jeff, you were in a vehicle this week as well, another Nissan. Right?
Yep, a Nismo 370Z.
Nice, nice. What do you think of it?
It's a cool-looking car. You have to be in the market for something like that. It's like Fast and the Furious ready.
It's a convertible or no?
No, this isn't the convertible I had.
Okay.
That was the 370Z Roadster.
Okay.
What's different about the Nismo versus the regular 370Z?
Complete suspension tuning, exhaust tuning, engine horsepower boosted up to 350 from 332.
Nice.
Fast and the Furious package comes standard.
Well, Nismo actually mean that the actual racing?
Yeah, Nissan Motorsports.
Right? I mean...
It's a sharp car compared, because the base 370 is already a wide little stocky car, and this just adds
like a bulldog.
Yeah, it adds a front chin spoiler and a rear fascia and a huge rear wing. It's definitely boy racer, and it gets attention of a lot of cops around here. So luckily, I haven't been pulled over yet. But.
Although you did say you were doing well, that wasn't in the Nismo.
That was in the Roadster.
Yeah. No, please. Getting your Nick.
Sorry.
What?
No. What were you going to say, Eric?
I said, are you trying to get your Nick Bollea on?
Drag race in a Lambo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the regular 370Z. Guy was last year, last fall, I think. But really a nice car, fast, great to drive, and that synchro rev match was friggin' amazing. Did you play around with that at all?
Well, I was pulling up to the light here in the Nismo, and I had the synchro rev match on, and I downshifted coming up to the light, and it just revs really high right next to a cop.
Oh, so that's great.
It looks like I'm trying to race the cop. And he looks at me like, what the hell is this guy thinking?
You smile and wave at him?
Well, he'd probably already run my tag because he came up from behind me and looking at this car. It's just screams, I've been speeding all morning.
What color is it?
it's just white, but
okay.
You know, it's got the big wheels, huge
the wing,
spoiler.
Like you said, yeah.
Yeah, the wing is obnoxious, but it's probably functional.
Yeah. So cool.
You and it could be yours for $40,000.
Is that all?
That's it.
That's not bad. That's so
three,
not bad.
Three easy payments of whatever,
$40,000, right?
13.3.
We're journalists, not mathematicians.
Yeah.
Don't expect us to do multivariable calculus like that in our heads.
I had the 350 Nismo once, and the only thing that was awesome about it was, well, there were two things. One was
all the attention
my
you got
daughter,
from young males.
No, one was my daughter actually wanted me to pull up in front of the school to pick her up because she's 16.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one,
but she
was,
won't
I
drive,
was driving,
right? She won't get her license.
She's no, you know what? She's actually started driving the Mustang.
Oh,
but
she's not testing. And the other thing was I came up with – and there's actually a video that Paul did of me, and at some point maybe I'll release it. I was telling Eric about it earlier. That it's like so ridiculous because I came up with this concept of the FFV, which is the effing fast vehicles lane instead of the HOV lanes.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually
idea.
In California. Yeah, we should be like – we should just have that lane so that people can drive cars like that because otherwise you're sitting in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great idea until you rear-end a Crown Victoria that has a flex fuel vehicle engine.
Well, no, but the whole point is you only allow like certain vehicles in the lane. But
it was FFV. I was going for that.
Oh,
flex fuel.
Okay. We're a little slow. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think we've killed this episode, guys. So this is a good place to end.
We've beat it with a mallet.
Jeff, we've euthanized it, okay? It quietly passed, all right? So, Jeff, thank you for joining us again. And thank you for your thoughtful insight.
You're welcome. And it was good seeing you down in Miami.
It was very good seeing you down in Miami as well. And it was very good enjoying that $50 steak with you.
And the mojito.
And the free wine. Because dinner took like 6 hours to get out to the table.
Yes, it did.
That's a story for another day.
Yeah. But all my stories are on autotropolis.com. And I recently just finished the article on the Rides and Smiles event that I was down in Miami for.
Now that's for dentists, right?
No, that is
automotive
for
dentistry. No, okay.
Automotive dentistry.
He just stops. It's like,
where do
can
you
Craig
come
be
up
that?
With this?
Can he be that retarded? And the answer is yes.
No, it was a charity event my media group did. We gave kids from the Baptist Hospital down in Miami rides in cool cars. Including the Porsche GT3 RS, Nissan GTR.
Cool.
It was pretty fun.
The kids like it?
Oh, yeah. Lots of smiles.
What's the name of the event?
Big Grins of the Little Kids.
Cool. Cool.
Good for you.
Yeah. And Michelle, back from Baja. We're glad you could join us this week.
Thank you. I am anxious to go again. I can't wait to go to Morocco in March. I'm going in March. I'm so excited. But
do you need any help out there?
I know. I've had so many offers.
Jeff will hold your catheter bag.
Wait.
What?
I have to tell you, I finally have a reason that I can justify my French degree. Because I'm going to be translating press. I do.
Wow. You can say oui, oui.
Oui.
From her catheter bag.
You guys, you know what's really scary? And Eric knows this. I have 3 minors, Spanish, French, and Mandarin. So,
man, you speak Chinese too?
Be careful. Yeah.
General Cao. Yeah.
Like, hopefully, I'm going to do the China race because, you know, Hummer's been bought by China. So, I actually had a bonus breakfast kind of meeting where with Rod Hall and Ivan, the Iron Man Stewart. And he's done the China race and says it's awesome. So I'm hoping to get to.
Very impressed. You are so multilingual. I never knew.
Thank you. Well, if I can promote anybody right now, it's probably my friends who are a Class 11 VW Bug team that raced in Baja. Longtime friends. They got to mile 40. The leader broke his ankle when they when they blew their first transmission. They blew their second transmission at mile 80 and were out of the race. But these guys it's desertdingo.com. And these guys are only out there because they want to promote diabetes awareness.
I wasn't aware.
Yeah. And they're awesome. I love them. And
they burned through 2 transmissions in 80 miles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's Baja. 80
it's
Baja miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, in an original VW Beetle, or is it the new body style?
No, it's original. It's original.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. Michelle, MissMotormouth.com, check out her work. Are you on any other sites? Anywhere else you'd like to
play? No, that's it for now. I'm Twitter, Miss Motormouth. I mean,
you're kind of a big deal on Twitter. I'm not going to lie. People know you.
Including Ford.
Yeah. And Eric, thank you as well.
Yeah, no worries. Bye.
And thank you for recording it, too, since Ben is, I don't know, hungover or sleeping or something. He couldn't join us tonight.
This has been a real gung-ho DZB-DAOZ event here.
Yeah.
That's my attempt at Mandarin.
Didi Mao.
I'm not going there.
How far off was I, Michelle? Or do I have to send you what the translation was supposed to be?
Her laughter is actually disappointment. But
I've already talked to you about your inflection, Eric.
All right. Lastly, I'd like to posthumously thank our producer, Ben Sanders, for making this live. Wait, we didn't do a live broadcast. Well, I'd like to thank him for the edited podcast then. Ben, thank you as always.
You're welcome, Chris.
You're welcome.
Ben isn't usually retarded sounding, is he?
Hey, Bert.
You guys, you know what's so funny? Ben was so busy at the auto show that I literally got to give him a kiss hello. And then he was working the entire time. And I spent 2 different times where I went to go talk to Ben, and I spent all of my time talking to John.
John has a magnetic personality.
Well, no, but Ben was too busy for me.
Oh, yeah. There's so much crap to do when you're on the live webcast. It's incredible.
I know. I was like, okay, you're just way too important for me.
He's a workaholic.
Snap.
Take that, Ben.
Ben needs to take some time out for his friends, or he's not going to have any. But anyway, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, shoot us an email. Just swing by the site and click on the email button in the sidebar. And if you're feeling really ambitious, you can even suggest story ideas for upcoming shows. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And to make sure you never miss an action-packed episode, subscribe. Just search for Roundabout in the iTunes Music Store or on the Zune, yes, the Zune Marketplace. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the Roundabout. We'll talk to you then. Every time I pass through the South, I make sure to swing by Grandpa Perkins' Confederated Fuels for a dose of... And let me try that again, because I can't read either. Lucy Liu is rubbing off on me.
You wish.
Well, it was probably the other way around, but yeah.
That was awesome.
Tonight's story is all about a really shitty way to die. I mean, that's not supposed to be there.
No, it's not.
Why don't we put a marker there?
What does this have to do with the Mustang V6? I don't get the correlation here. There is no one. Ben, we need you.
How do you confront someone when you're wearing an adult diaper?
I can't take you seriously. You're all, you know, bunched up down there. It's
right. And the thing is that they apparently had apparently NASA had these specific adult diapers.
Fitted or something,
that
right?
They only had a number of, and they were so upset with her that she actually wasted them to stalk something.
You could just see her getting fired. It's like the paperwork, reason for termination. Wasting special space diapers to stalk someone. Steve Urkel.
Usually we make people drink when they snort after laughing.
I do snort, did I you do guys. That? I do.
Heidi-ho, Winslow. See, I know about popular culture.
That's not very popular anymore.